Welcome back to the Conference Shop and All the Goss. We're doing things a little differently today. Rather than interviews with hotel partners, we're sitting down with our own team to wrap up the year that was. Joining me today are two people who our clients know very well, Mary Jane and Danielle, our venue sourcing specialists here at the Conference Shop. We're talking about 2025 trends, weirdest things we've seen in Bruce this year, and a few stories from behind the scenes. Let's start with you both. MJ, for anyone who hasn't met you yet, tell us a bit about your background. How long have you been in events and how you ended up at the Conference Shop?
Thanks, Tyler. Look, I've been in events for a very, very long time. I was lucky that when I left school, I knew that I wanted to get into hospitality. And with that, events and conferences was the path that I took. So I spent many, many years in sales and marketing and moved down to the Southern Highlands a good 16 years ago, which is when I met Carla when I was working for the Peppers Group, Manor House and Craigieburn. And Carla and I worked together as clients and suppliers for quite some time. I then went and ran a charity for 10 years. And then a couple of years ago, Carla and I had a catch up after not seeing each other through COVID and everything and had a cup of tea. And then the next day, Carla offered me a role to start working with her at the Conference Shop. And look, the last 2 years has been absolutely incredible. And we've got an extraordinary, you know, group of clients. And it's just been, an amazing journey. A long one, but a great one.
Isn't it great that we had that cup of coffee, MJ?
Isn't it great, Carla? Absolutely.
And you, Danielle, same for you. What brought you into the events world and what do you love most about it?
Yes. Well, funnily enough, my beginnings actually started in the Southern Highlands as well. I grew up in the Southern Highlands and in my late teenage years, I started working at the beautiful Milton House, and that's when I was exposed to events and spent many years there. And I guess from there, my passion grew and hotels is where I wanted to be. And I spent a long time after that in hotels in Sydney, 20 years, in fact. And more recently, I started my own business. So 4 years ago, I left hotels, started contracting to hotels and event businesses. And that road led me to the Conference Shop. So luckily, one day I got a call from Carla, who needed someone to assist her. And that's where I am now.
Yep. We roped you in, didn't we, Danielle? So if you had to describe the 2025 events landscape, how would you describe it?
Look, I think it's been a busy year. I think despite economic challenges, the business hasn't really stayed strong. We do have had quite a few last minute requests. I think trends around that. And a lot of our clients are still looking for venues within the CBD areas. We've seen a rise in that. I think generally the year has been extremely strong, extremely busy.
Yeah, you can definitely see that there's definite confidence in the market and you can see it growing each year. And what do you think, Danielle? What's been, I guess, something that you've noticed in the event landscape this year?
I think it's just been a very mixed bag. You know, there's so much chatter generally about the economic conditions. And I think what we've seen is events is remaining really strong within all cities, really. And we are still seeing a lot of last-minute events. We know hotels and venues still talk about last-minute events, but what we're also seeing is clients booking, I guess, much further out. I mean, at the moment, I am looking or booking one for February 2027, and there's certainly events later in the year that I'm looking after. So I find that it's just a very mixed bag when it comes to the event landscape, but definitely is what MJ said, it is a very strong market.
So what trends have really stood out to you this year, do you think, MJ? Probably more so than last year.
Look, I think trend-wise, delegate numbers are tending to grow. I think that we've had more events that are looking to go offshore as well, which is really encouraging that it's not just domestic work that we do. Obviously, Sydney, Melbourne, the capital cities and regions are strong, but for us, offshore is definitely growing. And Queensland has performed strong again this year.
Is there anything you want to add to that, Danielle?
I think what I've really noticed is clients looking for something new and different. The meetings market is quite mature. People have done the traditional boardrooms long enough and they're looking really for different venues. So I think that seems to be a standout for me. with clients at the moment, just looking for something quite unique for their conference space.
Yeah, really different. Like, gone are the days where people just wanted everything in the one hotel. I think it's true. People now are looking at, we can do accommodation and, you know, dinner at the hotel, but we want to do, say, a conference offsite. So, yeah, that has been a bit of a change. So, Danielle and MJ, what do you think changed in 2025? What shifts have you noticed, like in client behaviour, group sizes, duration or expectations? Are you seeing clients move away from traditional conference spaces and looking for something more unique?
Absolutely. I agree with what Danielle was saying before in relation to clients are looking for something different, something new. I do believe that the larger numbers, multiple day conferences, definitely delegate growth, as in numbers of delegate growth. So, you know, I don't think there's been much of an impact financially in relation to that from the economy. And clients, I think we mentioned before, definitely looking offshore. So, you know, I think that's probably the biggest change that we've seen.
Yeah. And look, in terms of destinations and venues, Danielle, have you had any destination or venues that really impressed this year, or any that stood out as a new favourite or made a strong comeback? Because there's been so many, you know, refurbs happening in the last 12 months. Is there, you know, some that stood out for you?
I think, you know, so if I just talk about Sydney, it's just been amazing to see the change happening here. You know, we've seen, you know, Intercontinental Coogee rise up, yes. Brighton come about as well too. You know, we've got the new IHG products in Gosford and down at Shell Cove. And obviously we met with Minor Hotels, who gave us the update on the NH collection here in Sydney. So I think in Sydney alone, there has been so much change and exciting changes, certainly to the event landscape. I think for me, I had no idea how much was actually happening. Having joined Conference Shop this year, I'm just amazed at the number of venues that are coming up. And I'm sure that there's some that I don't know about. And I look forward to learning more about that as we head into next year.
Yeah. And look, it's such a quickly changing landscape. I think there's many more venues coming online in the next 18 months. It's really exciting. And
really?
What about, yeah, and MJ, for you, was there any standout for you, or a regional boutique property you think, you know, really caught your eye in the last sort of 12 months?
Look, I think the likes of Illumina opening up in Sydney, I think that's changed the landscape of the event space and venues, and people are steering away from traditional hotels. So, you know, venues like Illumina have definitely made an impact.
Yeah, for sure. Now we're going to talk about the fun stuff, the behind-the-scenes moments that people don't really see. So without naming names, what sort of those classic, you know, only in events moment you've had this year, or were there any times where there were tight timeframes, tricky proposals that put us under pressure, you know, and how do you handle it?
Look, one of our clients in particular comes to mind. They had an event just recently, actually, in Bali. And talking about offshore before, I think the difference with booking or not booking that particular venue was the fact that we had direct access to the account manager for that particular hotel brand. And I think it just made things a lot easier in relation to answering questions very quickly, any language challenges that we may have had. And it really assisted with going to contract quickly and easily, and making sure that we were able to confirm that piece of business into the venue. And great feedback is that they actually had a fantastic time, because I think they had theirs just in September gone. So things like that make a massive difference from behind the scenes, and the clients don't see that.
No, they don't. And I think I remember also one where it was an offshore one, didn't have an attrition clause in their contract, and again we were able to use our relationships with our account managers and quickly get one put back in the contract for our client. So it is, there's a lot of things like that happen that no one really knows about.
And I think it's peace of mind. It gives them peace of mind to our clients, knowing that we're doing all that behind the scenes for them.
Yeah. What about you, Danielle? Any quick timeframes, tight proposals, you know, that kind of thing that you can remember? Any sort of stood out for you?
Yeah, I think, you know, MJ, that request we had only the other week 400 packs 3 weeks out. Yeah, as much as I say clients are booking longer lead time, there is certainly a lot that are still booking in a short lead time. But certainly, I think one of the challenges I particularly find hard is the response time. I think coming from venues from time to time, I wouldn't say it's all the time at all venues, but unfortunately, some response time from teams is very challenging. It requires constant follow-up from us to ensure that we get the proposal off to the clients in time. And unfortunately, there have been on occasions where venues have not been in the proposal that we have put forward to clients because we're still waiting. So I think that for me remains a constant challenge.
I agree completely with that, Dan, because we're trying to put the best proposal selection together for our clients, which is generally 3 to 4 properties or venues within one proposal. And if you've got one or two lagging behind, well, it puts you back a day or two, if not longer. And like you said, some venues have missed out being put in the mix because of their delay in replying to our proposals.
So how do you think the conference shop then helps clients cut through the noise, you know, and find the right venue quickly?
I think it's our knowledge. I really think it's our knowledge. I think it's our connection with the venues. And I also think just, you know, without going too much into what we were just saying before, but I think it's up to us to decide whether, no, look, we're here for the client, and if we have to cut a venue off, we cut a venue off. But I think, you know, we do cut through the noise with our knowledge, our experience. I know between the three of us, we've got plenty of experience and we utilise that. And we utilise that with our relationships, with our negotiation skills and all of that.
And can I just say, on the flip side, I know that we also cut through the noise when clients come to us with a brief and it's a very specific budget and it might be a certain starred hotel, but then they'll go, what about this? What about that? And we're like, no, trying to rein them in. No, this one is over. This one's not. So I think using our knowledge of venues, very quickly we can tell a client exactly which venues will fit their brief fairly quickly. And I think that's a really big cut through. I think for us, that helps our clients too.
Absolutely.
So every year teaches us something new, ladies. What's one lesson 2025 has taught you guys about venue sourcing or working with clients? Like, have you noticed more clients come to us earlier in the process? Or, you know, do they have a backup option? What's something we've improved or refined in how we guide clients through the process? MJ?
I love that question, Carla. Our clients, for me, 2025, look, I think a lot of them will come to us first up, but I've found that there's been a little bit of a turn. Sometimes they come to us as plan B, or I'd like them to come to us as plan A. And I think that's really dependent on their time and their turnaround and if they've got an opportunity to, you know, to have a bit of a venue source themselves. Whereas really, we'd love them to come to us first, because if they come to us, we can prepare the full brief from the very beginning and not chasing tails, and we can negotiate and get the best price, you know, right from the very beginning. Come to the conference shop first and we can take it from there.
And also it's harder for us to jump in and support them if they've reached out to somebody, because we don't have visibility, I guess, across all proposals, only the ones we've done. Whereas if we have visibility across all the proposals and we're involved from the beginning, then we can, I guess, get in there and really negotiate a lot harder than we can when we're only doing some of it and not all of it.
But totally agree.
Yeah, and I think good advice, MJ.
Means that we can really create a smooth transition into the booking a venue.
Yeah, that's right. And you, Danielle?
I think it's all very right what you're saying as well too, because I think, you know, event planners don't necessarily want, it tends to be a fun job doing event planning, but I think with the experience and the relationships and the contacts we have, we make it so much more easier. And realistically, we're not taking anything away from event planner, we're just trying to make their job easier. So I think for me, it's just being able to communicate to clients that I'm speaking to why they should come to us, and really educating them on the process that we take in terms of trying to find the right venue for them.
Yeah, that's right. And the earlier the better, right?
Absolutely.
So what's some advice then that we can give, you know, event planners, anyone listening? What's the biggest piece of advice to make next year's event planning smoother? Are there any like simple steps in your opinion that can people, you know, can take now to avoid stress later? Dan, we'll start with you.
I mean, like what we just said, start planning now for 2020. We already know quarter one can be exceptionally busy in CBD locations, and it does get harder to find availability at the start of the year. So absolutely start planning now. I think also be realistic with budgets and try to have some form of budget in mind for your events. You know, Carla, MJ, we have seen, you know, what pricing can be like in cities when it's particularly busy. And I think that sometimes can catch a client out. Yes. So that would probably be my advice to planners.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the larger the event, the longer the time frame, I think, is needed, because, you know, when you've got a little one, you can slot, you know, a small event in somewhere here or there. But when it's a big numbers, it's really hard to just squeeze someone in.
Yeah.
So your thoughts, MJ?
Look, I totally believe exactly what you're both talking about. Timing, planning. And I really think come to the conference shop first.
Yeah.
Let us do it for you.
Yeah, I agree. And just have a clear brief. Be clear on the brief. That's a big one. Make sure that there's a lot of information in the brief that we can work with from the get-go. So what are you most proud of this year, ladies? This is getting personal. Either something you've achieved personally or a moment that stood out for the team. And what do you think made this year such a strong one for the conference shop? MJ?
Look, I've absolutely loved the whole year. But what stood out to me, I'm really proud of our FAMIL program. It really gives an opportunity for us to showcase venues and work closer with venues. But what we're doing is we're really solidifying and getting to know our clients, even on a personal level. And it's just giving them options to step away from their desk and step away from their computer and actually come and participate and look at what's new and what's coming up in the way of venues. So I think our FAMIL program's, you know, pretty special and just something to be proud of.
Yeah, that's true. And you, Danielle?
I think I'm just proud to be back with the conference shop this year. As MJ said, I think the FAMIL program is great. You know, I had my experience with being on my first FAMIL with the conference shop only last week. You know, it was a great experience. You could see that there was so much love from the clients that you have had attending for you both. So that I thought was great. And I think, Carla, you know, the fact that you've created your own podcast, I think, is amazing and something you should be very proud of too.
Yeah, look, it is a proud moment. It was a scary moment, but yeah, look, I was proud of it. I think we, you know, it was a team effort. I just happened to be the voice. So I'm proud of the team that we have and the growth that we've had, and the increase in our business referrals as well has been really great this year. So to wrap things up, and as we head into the holidays, what are you both most looking forward to? What's your ideal post-event season break? Jen, we'll start with you.
Not opening the laptop for a week. I think that will be a great holiday for me if I can achieve that. I think I'm just looking forward to having, I love Christmas. Christmas is my favorite time of year. So I'm just really looking forward to spending time with my family and friends over that period. I live in the beaches, so hopefully I'll get down to the beach quite a bit. Yeah. So just looking forward to some time out.
Yeah. And you, MJ?
Look, me too. I've got a holiday booked for January up to Queensland. So looking forward to not as lucky as you, Dan, in relation to being close to the beach. I'm going to go to a different state so I can spend some time on the beach and having a nice break.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. As much as we love the conference shop, it's nice to have a break. I'm, as you girls know, I'm heading to Tassie. So that's very exciting for us, and it'll be lovely just to have that change of scenery and step back for a little bit. So that's a wrap on this episode and on the year. Thanks, MJ and Danielle, for joining me, and thanks to everyone who's listened, shared, or worked with us throughout 2025. We couldn't do it without you. We'll be back next year with more stories, new destinations, and, of course, just a little bit of goss. Until then, happy planning.